Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Fan Critical, the podcast where an intrepid band of friends bravely review the latest and greatest content. Today we are discussing the first two episodes of season four of Stranger Things. And
whoa.
I'm joined, woohoo, that little voice you heard from the nether region, nether zone rather, is my fellow member of the party, Emma.
Hello.
AKA 11. Do you remember when we used to cast each other as a... characters in whatever show we were watching?
And sometimes what we'd do is we'd pick really shit characters if we were annoyed with someone or they weren't our favourite that day. So thank you for calling me 11.
11. And I guess I will just make myself Mike, her gawky boyfriend, Mike.
Nice.
There we go. Normally there's more of us, so you can kind of spread around the cast, but it's just us two today. So yeah, we're talking about season four of Stranger Things, long awaited because the last season came out in July 2019,
which is
that's
mental.
3 years, yeah.
So I am literally fresh off the back of the first two episodes back to back of season four, and I had to watch the full recap at the beginning to be like, what did happen?
I did the same. It was a good recap, I think. You need that. I need that with anything, even if it's not been long. But I kind of remembered the very end of it, but I didn't know, I couldn't remember how we got there. What did you think of the last series of Stranger Things, and how did you feel going into this season?
So, very good questions, Lucy. To answer your first one about the last season, I think you'll all be quite familiar with the fact that I was fully for it being a one season and done, only because it was so perfectly packaged, right? Season two, very good. Season three, I had mixed feelings about it. But actually, now that it's been quite a while, I was quite excited about season four. And I mean, there's no way I could have binge watched the whole thing. And I'll explain that as we get through the discussion. But I was quite looking forward to watching a little bit of it and seeing how I felt, and I think it's a good job of bringing it back, especially when, you know, it's been a lot of time and it had such a huge following. So it's interesting to see it come back, and I almost feel like the COVID induced hiatus has been it's done it a favor.
Yeah, I think I actually agree with you on that. I think the first season was probably one of the best things that Netflix has done. It was perfect, really, and it captured people's imagination like I don't think anything else really has on Netflix. And I would have been happy just to, I know it's stupid because we love the characters, but I would have been quite happy for it to just be that, because it was perfect.
It was so,
and that, yeah, I agree, second season was good. I think that by the third season it all got a bit repetitive for me, and it moved away from what the original was. But so on that, I was considering just not watching season four. I didn't care. I was like, oh. And I also think, I mean, I'm going to get onto it later in the podcast, but the way the last season ended, I felt was like, well, that's the end then. It has ended in such a way that to revisit it is going to take a bit of work.
Yeah.
And I just thought, why are you longing this out? And there was loads of trailers for it, wasn't there? And obviously COVID happened, so it's delayed it. But I actually agree that enough time has now passed that it feels a bit fresher again.
Yeah.
And I think the approach they've taken, I wouldn't say they've stripped it down, because there's loads, absolutely loads. We're only going to be discussing the first two episodes, as I say, today. But there's absolutely tons of action already, tons of storylines. So I wouldn't say they streamlined it, but I think they've brought it back a little bit more to what we loved about it in the first.
Yeah, which instance. Is the people.
It's the characters, it's the relationships. And yes, there is a sort of more singular, scary thing, entity that's been introduced. And boy, howdy, is it scary.
Oh.
Fucking hell. I was very scared.
I'm still a bit jittery, to be honest, after that 2 hours and 40 minutes of season four. In the long episodes as well. So, you know, it's not
like
90 minutes and done with the first two. I have to, you know, I think I totally agree with you. And I think the magic about the first season was it was so self-contained. And I think it probably, Netflix probably did themselves an injustice in a way by releasing everything so close together, seasons 1 through 3. And I do think a bit of distance from it has really benefited the show because actually now I care again.
I
want to know how they cope with it, how they handle this, because, you know, the end of season 3 could well have been the end of everything.
Maybe it should have been, but... That being said, I did enjoy the first two episodes, considering I was thinking about not watching it and I wasn't actually bothered. I did enjoy it. It was scary. Which is fine. Well, we will get onto that. But I would like you to blueberry each episode for me, Emma, and just give a little explainer to any new listeners. Hi, hello, welcome.
Welcome.
What the blueberry scale is, what it entails, and how we use it, please.
Oh. So the blueberry system is thus, you can score from 0 to 5, 0 being the worst, 5 being the best, and there can be no halves. It is a harsh but fair scale. Harsh but fair. Can you tell I've been doing that for 5 years? Dab hand.
You've got it down.
So episode one. So I really, the first episode, and these will blur in together for me because I feel like I've just
I'm already
watched.
Thinking, which one's which? What happens when?
I sort of feel like I've just watched a Stranger Things movie, but first episode brought back for me some really great character relationships and like dynamic duos, which I quite enjoyed. Yeah. And, you know, it was a little bit different. Obviously, everyone's grown up. My God, have they all grown up? Scary.
Different effects, yeah.
And I really like the fact that you didn't really get anything upside downy. Until quite near the end of episode one. So I give episode one a 4 bloop, which is very, very good score. Very good.
It's a good score.
Very good and great. Episode two shifted it up a fucking notch. I literally sat on the edge of my sofa for the last half of it, desperately wanting to know what was going to happen as everybody like starts diving deeper into things. And there's still that beautiful kind of mad... comedic, so like Joyce and Murray, for example.
Yeah.
Crack me up. The two of them are brilliant, excellent. Because it's almost farcical, isn't it? Like their relationship. And so for me, episode two, actually, I think having just come off the back of it was a fly boob.
Wow.
Five bloob. Because it had everything. And that may, you know, maybe I've blown my load too soon for season 4. But, well, we'll just have to see what happens. But I'm genuinely gripped. And I think I might have to watch episode 3 after this.
Yeah, I am wondering, actually, when I'm going to watch these other episodes. Because they're just so long.
They are long, man.
For episodes of TV, I think they're quite long. But it's okay. And I didn't think... The only reason I thought, oh, these are long is just because I wanted to watch 3, basically, last night in preparation for this podcast. Because it was the only chance I'm going to get. And I just didn't have time, really. And that's why I wasn't watching it thinking, oh, this is dragging, this is too long. It was more, I wanted to be able to watch more of it.
Yeah, and there's no way I could have done 4 hours of that in one bump. And I think actually 2 is enough. It's enough for now.
There's enough to discuss for sure. Like,
oh my God, so much. Like,
but what I like about these first two episodes and what I think I mean when I say going back to the first season is that with everything that is happening, they always find room for these character developments. So, for example, Will, who's always a bit of a forgotten character, considering the first season was all about him, you can see they're just giving him little moments. You know, they're trying to spell out that he's gay, in my opinion. That's what has been about.
Is he all of a sudden 30? Because he looks so adult
The aging process. I know. These teen boys. Scary. Where they're just... gawky. Yeah, it must be difficult for them. But you've got these little glimpses of Will, and he's not really included in much, but you're getting to see this other side of him. The fact that they are showing how Eleven, you know, she's out of danger per se, but she's not a normal child. She hasn't grown up with children, so she does not know how to act. And to heartbreaking effect, you know, at some points in this show. But to just show that yes, she wouldn't suddenly just be a normal high schooler. And they're showing the results of that.
And there's something really human about that as well. You really feel it, don't you? You feel that kind of, she doesn't, you know, she but doesn't
she
think
doesn't belong that... And high school's a nightmare anyway for a yeah. lot of people, but for her, like, she's just got no awareness. You've got Lucas wanting to fit in with the cool kids and having a break from his geeky friends, and I just think they've all had a like a chance to kind of develop a bit, and without them having to spend a whole episode going, well, what's changed with our group yeah. of friends. I think it's been done really well, and I think that's probably what has gripped me, because I care, like you said, I care again, and them allowing the characters to grow even within the first two episodes, and that, like, giving them that kind of backstory so you believe in them again, I think they've done that really well.
Yeah.
I'm sort of struggling, because I watched them back to back as well to remember which episode's which, but I've enjoyed them both, and I'm going to give them both 4 because
nice.
I can't fully remember. I remember, yeah, like the horrible deaths in each. And
right at the end yeah. of each.
Yeah.
Also,
are you going to show it again? Are you going to recap on it? Oh, brilliant.
Oh,
flashbacks.
Oh, again? I'm never going to get that out of my head ever. And just a very quick spoiler warning. If you've not watched the first two episodes of Stranger Things season 4, please switch off now, because we're going to talk about it in great detail.
If you haven't watched it, then I would recommend going and watch it. But yeah, don't listen any further, because we're going to probably get into it.
Yeah.
Yes. So Blueberries, I think that's a good score. Good solid start. I was definitely impressed, and I didn't think, like, oh, this is something I have to watch so I can talk about it. I felt like, no, this is good, actually. This is more what I would like to watch when it comes to Stranger Things. So happy with the start of it.
Yay.
Now, as is kind of traditional with Stranger Things, we've been reintroduced to our old friends, the party, and there's also some newbies flying around, some of whom do not last. They do not last at all. They're not with us for long. But we have Eddie Munson, who's like fucking elderly hair metal high schooler, and he's taken Mike and Dustin under his elderly wing. He just looks so old, and I know he's like been held back or whatever, but my guy looks like he could be Mike's dad. He looks really yeah. old. And we have Chrissy, who's the most popular girl in school. She's a cheerleader. She's dating the most popular guy in school, Jason. He's the captain of the basketball team. And there's also Angela, who is at 11 and Will School over in California. Also a popular girl. An absolute, as we would say in England, cunt. She's fucking horrible.
Such
Emma,
a dick.
What do you think of these new characters? What's their impact been on you so far?
You got to have some high school tropes, right?
So you got
to have held back drug dealer, popular cheerleader. He's got, you know, maybe she doesn't really want to be that popular, and
she's got issues.
You know,
yep.
And there's a jock. Oh, and then obviously there's got to be a pretty dickhead who has to be horrible to the people that we love. And I hope something horrible happens to Angela, because she's not a real person.
It has, though, a bit.
Well, yeah,
she had it coming. We'll discuss that, but she had it coming.
She fully deserved that. But no, I think, you know, we've got to broaden out our scope a bit, because their lives have grown and developed and moved on, and therefore we need, you know, some new characters for them to liaise with in whatever way that might be. And I think, you know, it's interesting, because you talk about, like, Lucas. Is it weird that when he came out in his basketball outfit, I was a bit like, oh, when did you get to be an attractive teenager? You're like 12.
I think that's weird. He's still probably...
kind of creepy.
A child. But he actually is the only one that's aged. This sounds really mean, because they're young, you know, young adults, and I don't want to be nasty. But he just looks like himself, but older, whereas the rest of them are going through puberty and they do look awkward. But that's fine. That's realistic, at least.
I think Mike's voice is broken.
Mike, when you look at, like, season
definitely
one, gosh,
will.
He's just grown so much. It happens, and I think it's good that rather than having Eddie, who's genuinely, I looked him up, he's an English actor, 29.
Oh, is he?
Yeah,
wow.
He just looks old. And then the other members of the Hellfire team.
All definitely middle-aged.
What are they called? I want to call Hellfire Corner, but that's something to do with World War One. Hellfire Club, I don't know. We're gonna call
yeah,
the
Hellfire Club.
They are
confusing me like
that. Ridiculously old. So
yeah, it's absolutely bizarre. Totally bizarre. But, you know, I think they almost play on it a bit. You know, how we all joke about how people, like teenagers, are played by adults in everything
always,
you watch.
Yeah.
I think it's quite interesting to see, like, our lot, you know, the gang are still...
They are teenagers,
...of
yeah.
an age, whereas they're being surrounded by adult actors playing teenagers, which is really funny. Because we've also got to mention Argyle, who is Jonathan's weird little
yes.
mate.
See, I didn't mention him just because I feel like Jonathan could just die and not be in it and it would mean nothing.
So
he's
boring.
Such a dead character.
So boring. Boring. Never mind. I will shout out, and I'm sure we're going to talk about performances though, but I got to admit, Sadie Sink's performance as Max in these yes. two episodes is exceptional. Like, she is
really
so
good. And they are giving her room to explore, obviously, the horrific death of her very awful brother in front
Billy.
Of her. And there's no expectation that she'll just be like, well, back to school. Like, she's still extremely traumatized and disturbed by it. And it's affected her friendship with the gang. Yeah, she's very good in it.
Yeah, you've got the makings of a stunning actress there, I think.
I do hope so, yes.
Yeah. So no, I mean, I think, you know, we've got a really good mix of characters. You've got to broaden it out. We can't always just have our little gang. You know, there are some other relationships in there that are my favourite thing of all time.
I think I can guess who you're talking about. Steve and Robin.
Oh my God, they're so good. I love them.
I love Steve.
I love them.
I'm obsessed with Steve. I kind of forgot about him. And
I forgot how great he was.
I just love him. His hair, his face, his personality. Yeah, the relationship with Robin is really like believable and authentic and just a joy to watch. I just love them.
I also want to be their mate.
I need to
so badly.
His high school girlfriend. That's what I want.
I just want to be friends with them.
Well, you can join our gang.
Okay, thanks.
We're dating, but
thanks.
You can join the
That's
gang.
That's okay. You can have Joe Keery.
No, I don't want Joe Keery. I want Steve Harrington.
Yeah, specifically Steve. Yeah, it's you know, we've got it opens up a lot, doesn't it? Having lots of new characters and different kind of personalities and tropes. A trope is not always a bad thing.
It's not. I mean, I do think there's quite a lot that they've crammed in, whereas in the previous seasons they've introduced like a new character and then another new character, whereas this is quite a lot because we've got, I suppose, yeah, we can come on to the kind of who's shaping up to be the villain. I mean, it's like, you know, when we discuss Stephen King adaptations, there's the supernatural villain and then there's the villains in the real life, which is probably just as scary to the kids. So you've got the horrible bullies and then you've got, you know, the fucking demon from the depths of hell that breaks you in all the ways a person can be broken.
Just don't have any words for it, to be honest, which is not very helpful.
I think the Demogorgon, just design wise, was so striking and was very scary. Mm. I think this guy, it's just so much. I mean, I'm sort of skipping ahead, really. So I'm actually not going to skip ahead. We were going to park the horror for a bit because I just want to talk about the main sort of storylines, how it's all shaping up. And as far as I can identify, there's kind of four storylines, main storylines. So we've got Hawkins. So we've got Mike and Dustin in the Hellfire Club, whatever they're called. Nancy, drain me out. She's slightly less of a drain without Jonathan, it has to be said. But they could replace her with just another journalist and I wouldn't care.
I'd have said Fred, but little dweeby Fred.
Fred Olgan. So yeah, we've got them in Hawkins and that's where this new threat seems to be stalking people who have vulnerabilities or a past. And you've got Will and Eleven trying to settle into their new school in California and Joyce and Murray also in California, kind of trying to establish Hopper is alive, and then we've got Hopper being
Hopper.
Imprisoned in Russia somehow. So it's quite a lot to take in, and that's just the very like bare bones of it. Are any of these storylines sort of standing out for you?
Honest truth, I don't really. And it's weird. Not sure I care. Okay, so I do care. And
I wonder if you're going to say the same thing as me.
Well, so I'm very excited about the Hawkins storylines. Obviously Hopper, because Hopper is my favourite. I'm a little, as much as I found the, you know, there's a particular scene in California where Eleven is treated really badly by horrible bullying people. And, you know, Eleven is obviously, I'm so emotional, obviously like one of our key characters, if you might say the key character. I just don't know that I really care about her and like Will's settling into California. Like, I'm really, really excited
domestic
by...
domestic life.
Yeah, Joyce and Murray, great, hilarious, because they're both a bit, like, batty, and I really enjoy that. Hawkins, love Hawkins. I'm just waiting for them to just come back to Hawkins so we can move on from the California thing, because it's obviously going to happen. I mean, I assume it's going to happen. I feel like it will. And I'm kind of just like, I don't know, why can't this be happening in Hawkins? Why did you have to leave?
What's annoying about the last season, because it ended with the group separating and you think, that's it, how are they going to get them back? So now they've got all this, you know, I mean, I don't mind the 11 stuff. I agree with you that it doesn't seem fully relevant to the story, but it is her story and it's just like developing her character more. And, you know, I don't need to see... I don't want to see children being bullied all the time. Like, it's just horrible.
I don't want to see her being like people stamping on her badly pronounced diorama of her and Hopper's cabin. Yeah, and I don't being
people getting away with
away.
It. Horrible. Yeah, I mean, there is a scene when she's sort of humiliated at the skating rink when Mike's come to visit, and because nobody's really seen how she's been treated by Angela and the bullies, and when she fucking breaks her nose with a roller skate, I'm like, yes,
good on you.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes, Angela. Go and get a nose job. Like, okay, it's pretty violent. But then Mike's like, what did you do? And it's like, well, you don't actually know what she's been going through.
And a hell of a lot. And I care about Eleven, but given, you know, what are we like, there are how many episodes in this season?
I think seven.
Seven episodes. Just get back to Hawkins, guys. Come on. Because that's where all the shit's going down.
I mean, I say I don't know why. It will be due to this Lord Vecna chap. That's what will reunite them. But I have to say, actually, the Hopper storyline is not doing it for me. I feel like the emotional resonance of the last episode of the last season has just been betrayed a bit, because we all thought he was dead and we were all sad about that. And it's like, no, he's actually alive. It's like, oh, just like another rug pull. It's only two episodes in and they haven't devoted loads of time to it, but it's just not that compelling to me for him. Him just being a bit gruff in Russia. You've got Jack and Hagar. That's it from Game of Thrones.
Thank you, because I couldn't think of it earlier when I was watching it. Jack and Hagar.
His name left my head. So he's sort of there and it's all just a bit... There's so much like subtext. I'm like, oh, let's just cut to the quick.
I'm half with you in that I don't really need to see Hopper in Russia.
I like the Murray and Joyce. Right, like that's just amusing.
But you are
amateurs.
Right. You are totally right though about I don't really know that I need to see him in that Russian prison. That's 20 minutes of screen time that was unnecessary.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Like maybe the flashback bit, but I don't need to see all of the gulag stuff.
Need the gulags where they were.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jack and Hagar at a payphone. Yes. Joyce throwing a tin of paint on a Russian doll. Yes.
Yes. That's more of the content that I want. I don't necessarily need to see him being water thrown on him. Who are you working with? It almost has
more power if you don't see him. Because we don't know if he's alive still.
Yeah. That's
true.
Well,
we do, but you wouldn't, would you?
You would. I mean, we've had enough bloody spoilers, like, well, not spoilers, the teaser trailers that came out like really long time ago about him being in Russia, and it's just like I think generally the Hawkins stuff is really interesting, and the kind of horror of what's happening. I don't mind the like Will and Eleven stuff, but I don't think I could watch many more episodes of her just struggling at high school, because it is going to go very Carrie. When her power comes back, guys, you're getting more than your nose broken by a fucking roller skate.
And that was badass, but you've not seen
Once
what she can do.
Once the blood just started seeping, I was like, that looks really real. So congrats on that, because that looks like she's had a nose split.
Turns out Millie Bobby Brown, really violent actress. That wasn't even scripted. She just lost it.
She's a bitch. Wouldn't be surprised. No.
No.
I'm sure she's fine. She's a gifted actress. But yes, horror. Let's talk horror because I feel like it's always been a bit scary. It's gone really fucking scary. It's gone very graphically violent. Seeing things I didn't think I would see in Stranger Things, which I always thought was kind of, you know, like the 80s sort of sci-fi, almost kiddie sort of thing.
It's gone up a level.
It's quite horrific. So yeah, this thing, this entity, which, I mean, maybe the guys should just stop playing Dungeons and Dragons or whatever.
Because yeah, I thought that at the end of the episode too.
Something that's really relevant to what they're playing emerges. It's like, you might want to start summoning these demons.
Think about this, guys. Think about it.
Your deck is now here.
I'm going to do this. In season 4, they have turned the horror up to 11. But 100% they have. And it's like, it's almost like the kids have grown up enough to handle more fucking terror. And it's the light. No, I definitely haven't. I've grown too old for terror, it turns out, because I'm now quite terrified. But it's like, it's the lighting and the like quick shots and the, you know, the voice in the head and the fact that you can understand how you might be turned or captured, like emotionally captured by that voice. And you just think, actually, yeah, this would scare the fucking shit out of me. And so far, none of them have really seen it face to face or any of that, that ends in the aftermath of it. But I mean, there's a difference between being eaten by a Demogorgon and being levitated into the air and your bones snapped basically one by one by an unseen entity. That, I mean, they have absolutely blown it out of the water. It's fucking awful. I can't think of anything I've watched like that for a very long time. Very kind of dark 80s horror type.
Because I kind of avoid things that are that horrible. And I'm sure like aficionados will be like, it was really tame. Fair. But it's just not what I expect from Stranger Things. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but like you say, they've really taken it up a notch. And I think, yeah, like you said, the Demogorgon sort of, it looks scary and the way it used to appear was always scary. But the kind of deaths were just, you know, being mauled. But like, yeah, mauled to death. Not great, but also not the same as having like your eyes popped out and your mouth and just seeing it.
Really visceral, wasn't it?
Yeah, visceral is what I'd say. Now, I think the kind of him as a character, whoever he is, we're going to call him Lord Vecna. There are kind of his like appearances sort of remind me a bit of some of the lads in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. I don't know if you ever watched
it. I've not watched it, actually.
It's quite good. It got really ridiculous, but anything about a teenage witch probably will. But yeah, you've got these figures that come and they're like very ominous, but there's just this level of violence that he visits out on people. And what is he feeding on? Is it because, okay, Fred, was his name Fred?
Yeah, Fred. Poor Fred.
He killed someone and drove off or whatever. And all, you know, Chrissy just like has a horrible relationship with her mom. It's like, well, not saying either of them deserve what happened, but she's just, you know, troubled. So what's it feeding off?
Guilt. I think it's feeding off la, 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 la. Not even drunk anything today. I think it's feeding off guilt. I think it's, so Fred, I want to call him Freddy. Freddy has guilt because he caused an accident that kills somebody, however he caused that, and then he left the scene and never took responsibility for it. I think Chrissy has guilt. I also think that she has other issues possibly that make her very, very sad. But that also makes me worry that they're going to go after Max. Max is going to be the focus because she feels guilt about Billy. And that's what I kept thinking when she was standing there watching over the trailer park. I just kept thinking, please don't let him get a sniff of her. Because I think she's going to be the one of them that he goes after, Lord Vecna.
Yeah.
I don't know if he is a lord, but I'm going to give him it.
That is very astute, and yeah, that is something, certainly something to worry about. I mean, another scene, which I found kind of worse in some ways, is the opening scene of episode 1, where you see all the children that are being experimented on.
Oh my God, yeah.
With all their shaved heads, like very much giving me kind of the Holocaust, like concentration camp type thing, with their heads shaved. and then seeing, and the way they did it, I was a bit like, you're just mainly seeing the dead children in the aftermath of this attack, just their dead bodies everywhere. Like, now these are actually children we're seeing. Like, it's quite disturbing.
Am I right in saying that that was a flashback and Eleven did it?
It's a flashback, yeah. And then that's the other thing that kind of troubled me a bit. Just it's showing that Eleven did all this. And it's, you know, what have you done, Papa?
Why?
What have you done? And it's like, well, actually, if this is the route we're going to take, this is like an exploited and abused and experimented upon child who's never known anything else. And if we're going to say, well, actually, she's the real villain, when we've spent all this time caring about her and seeing her develop and seeing what she's been through, I'm not going to appreciate that.
I hope that's not the route they take.
I do wonder if it's going to be... it's actually, you know, these apparitions, these entities are manifestations of her power, that she brings them out of the upside down. I think that's kind of been implied anyway.
Ooh.
And it's something else that she's kind of brought forth and has done that. And I kind of hope that's it, because it's just, oh, this child like is murderous. It's like, well, that's a betrayal of the character and everything it's been developed to be.
Yeah.
But I did find that scene very disturbing for the connotations of the Holocaust, like I say. And just seeing loads of dead kids.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not nice.
It was very, very concentration camp-esque, wasn't it? And I'm not sure if that's a phrase you can ever use about concentration camps, but it was quite chilling and very uncomfortable to watch. And I think that was intentional. I just really hope that Lord Vecna doesn't end up being a kind of a manifestation of... What is wrong with you and me today? A manifestation of Eleven. Because I think that would really discredit the amazing work the show has done over the last three seasons. But I don't know, maybe it's another thing,
but I do think her power and her presence is what has opened the void. But if you're talking about guilt and everything, and it's feeding off guilt, then obviously if she's... The fact that, you know, the kind of callback with Mike saying, what have you done? And, you know, back to Papa saying it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, the framing of that scene, I didn't sit that well with me, like just seeing it, like, oh my God, it was Eleven killed these people. It's like, right, well, I don't think she's the villain. Like, don't try and make it out like she's a villain when actually we've seen everything she's had to go through and everything she's done. And that just made me, and just the way they did it, just like kept showing these like dead children. Just because they got shaved heads doesn't mean they're not kids and they weren't, you know, real kids.
No, exactly.
Don't know. Yeah, I found it really like, horrible to watch.
Yeah, it was quite a brutal way to open the season.
Well, it even said, I don't know if you noticed, I only noticed it after, but there was like a content warning saying like violence or death involving children. I was like, oh,
I didn't see that.
Yeah,
definitely. So obviously wasn't paying attention.
I only saw it after, so yeah, not much help. But yeah, I think it's got nastier for sure, the violence and just the content that we're seeing. Yeah, and the thing is now, like, how do they top that? That's the first two episodes. What are they going to do?
Oh, I don't know. I've had a song in my head since episode one. Because
okay, is what you're bringing up going to be relevant to the podcast? Or are you just telling me that you've thought of a song?
No. So it's totally relevant. The soundtrack is so good, right? The whole soundtrack is amazing. And in the first episode, Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's a great soundtrack.
Oh, and it just blew me away. I was like, what is this magic? What is this magic? And everything, I mean, it's so good. And we start off with like California Dreaming and, you know, there's songs in there by Kiss, like really, really good soundtrack. But Running Up That Hill has been in my head like the whole time through.
That is never a bad thing. I mean, if there's ever an opportunity to listen to Kate Bush, it's an opportunity that
I'm always down for a bit of Kate Bush.
Me too.
And I did dance a little bit to it as well.
I think the kind of the lyrical content and the music of it, the actual sound, is very fitting for the for the show and the general vibe.
Totally agree. Yeah.
Love it. So soundtrack's good, and it's one of the only shows, obviously I've only watched the two episodes, where I don't skip the titles because I'm like, nah, this tune is great.
Yeah, Totally agree.
Brilliant soundtrack. Well, not soundtrack. The titles is just such a good theme tune. Okay, so end of episode one. Chrissy has been having all these awful
waking dreams?
visions, yeah, not dreams really, of a ticking clock and her mother and lots of awful things. So she meets with Eddie to buy some
Special K
pharmaceuticals to alleviate these symptoms, and they go back to his caravan, whatever, not caravan, is it, mobile home. And she's just killed in front of him in a very graphic and awful way. And when it becomes apparent that this has happened, her boyfriend kind of rallies the troops. They all think it's Eddie. And it kind of called to mind the whole satanic panic thing. And it just kind of shows easy. And I think that's going to be a big aspect of the show, is the demonization of people who are different. And it's going to be something Lucas has to deal with, because he's part of this. He already has had to deal with it. I just want to give a little shout out to his sister, Legend.
Oh my God. I'm
Legend of the game.
So, so glad that Erica is back.
Lady Applejack.
How badass was it when she turned up at that D&D game and was like, I'm 11. That may have been an insulting impression, but...
Mickey Mouse, apparently, but...
Oh, boy!
She doesn't even have a high voice. It.
Just so good. So
but
good.
She's brilliant. But yeah, just that kind of how Lucas had to sort of defend the Hellfire Club against accusations of Satanism.
Well, the problem is he's on the fence now, isn't he? He's kind of straddling the fence of... He's obviously... When shit goes down, he's going to be right back with the gang helping to save Hawkins from the upside down, obviously. But at the moment, he is torn between wanting to move on and not for people to constantly think he's weird and bully him and all this, that and the other. And being with his mates. And, you know, that really shows it. And I think, you know, he did that. Satanic Panic is such a fascinating, awful, but fascinating kind of joint, like almost like community delusion,
hysteria. And it is, you know, it's the Salem witch hunts all over again, of just everybody piling in on this idea and singling out people who they perceive to be different. And it doesn't even need to be goths or whatever else. It's just it turns into
any kind
anyone
of difference.
That's not the norm.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be another one of those, you know, the Stephen King thing that we mentioned earlier, where yes, there is Lord Vecna, but there's also these people that are going to accuse you of things and, you know, mob mentality. And especially in America, you know, anything could fucking happen.
Yeah, I mean, totally. Unfortunately, that kind of joint hysteria thing does take over, and especially in a small town. I hadn't really thought about the comparison, really.
It's just the way he was kind of like, and it's just funny, like, it's intentionally funny, but... The guy Jason, so the captain of the baseball team. Basketball, not baseball.
Who cares? It has a ball.
B-ball.
B-ball.
At the start of, I think the first episode, and he's doing like a little rally, a little speech to say that, you know, after everyone that died in the fire, like, they'd want us to go out and win this game. It's just using like mass casualties and death and tragedy to kind of G you up for a game. And then he says, like, his girlfriend's just been murdered, and he's like, wouldn't she want us to go out and fight and find who did this? It's like, do you not want to like take a moment, mate, and like
take just
breathe?
A minute, just a hot minute here, okay, like that, have
it
a tear.
Funny, just that kind of their use of motivation to excuse your actions and to get what you want out of a situation was like funny, but also like terrifying
because it's believable.
Yes, it seems very realistic of a certain type of person.
Yeah, disturbing in a way.
So I think that's gonna be another aspect where, yes, we're scared of Lord Vecna, but we're also scared of the actions of the mob against
the town.
Eddie, who actually is very traumatized by what he's seen.
Poor Eddie.
No one would believe him, although like no one would believe him, but also who the fuck could do that to someone? How would they even do it? But that does bring me on to sort of predictions for the show.
Ooh.
But I just wanted to sort of touch on, unless there's anything else you want to discuss, because obviously loads happened. We've barely touched on much of it. But we've had the name Victor Creel.
We haven't we?
Mentioned as a serial killer who killed his whole family and kind of took their eyes in a similar manner to what's happened to Chrissy and later Freddie. I'm calling him Freddie. Do you think this is going to be a red herring, or do you think he'll feature as an actual character? And do you think if he does, could it be that he was influenced by the Upside Down years ago?
Well,
like this has happened before.
I hope that we meet him because I love a serial killer.
He sounds scary.
I'm down for that. I think that the likelihood is that perhaps we will find out that he was wrongfully convicted of said murder, or wrongfully convicted, accused, held responsible, and maybe he's Lord Vecna.
What, returned? Maybe they burned him alive like in Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
Well, and then Nightmare on Elm Street, not Freddy Krueger's not a thing, it's a character.
Yeah. And then somehow he ended up coming back to life in the Upside Down as Lord Vecna.
But then, that could be it.
I mean, it's stretching it a little far.
But it seems weird to just bring him up if he's not going to be in it, if you know what I mean.
It does. And I feel like he has to feature in some way, but I don't know what that will be, because otherwise it's a bit too efforty. Too much effort to go to if he's not going to be a part of it.
I think maybe we'll find that this happened again, and maybe he's the key to, like, I closed it last time by doing this. I don't know, because Eleven could close it, but she's obviously lost her powers.
Is she ever going to get back, Lucy?
When are they coming back? Is it going to be another Carrie thing where it just goes, she gets so covered in pig's blood that it just like fires out of her?
Maybe. I mean, I thought it was going to happen at the roller skating rink, to be honest. And then she just smacked.
Milkshake, pig's blood, you know.
Bit of a callback, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh, definitely. I think so. I think there's a lot of Carrie in Eleven. I think we've said that before.
Yeah, many a time. I think it would be a shame not to carry on with something they've seeded like that.
Carry on.
Another one.
Hey,
not intentional at all. What do you think? What do you think's the crack with Victor Creel?
I don't know. There's no point. There was also a serial killer who was just a normal man who did something horrible. Like, okay, that's got nothing to do with anything. He might have been influenced by something within the Upside Down, and maybe the echoes of that are coming back via Lord Vecna, and he's echoing those sort of murders, because it's got to be really quite similar for it to be relevant. Do you understand what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's like, oh, this guy did something similar, but it presumably wouldn't have been actually similar, like with all the bones breaking and stuff. For him to bring him up like that and not just be like, oh, a guy did it before, give him a name. I think it's got to be related in some way. I think it's got something to do with the Upside Down, and it's happened before.
It must do, mustn't it?
I think so. We don't know. Did they actually say Eddie's uncle say when exactly?
No.
So I'm wondering if it fits in with the facility and all that.
Oh, well, you see, I feel like he was one of those kind of characters in a Stephen King. Back in my day, down at the cemetery.
Dead is better.
That fucking film, I swear to God. Still gives me like nightmares for no logical reason. Dead is better. Maybe it's, you know, he's kind of like harking back to his childhood days. Maybe it was a kind of horror story from 30 years ago of this man that killed his family. I don't know. I'm really intrigued to see what happens.
Or it could be, you know, when it's like, it gets embellished. It's like, he took their eyes. It's like, he didn't. He just like a lot of fucking horrible men do in America and across the world, he's just killed his family because he's a nut or whatever.
Yeah. Maybe he just had a really bad day.
Weird to bring him up in this show by name, you know?
It seemed deliberate. And if it wasn't, then it's very weird.
Unless it's just a red herring.
I hope it's not.
I hope that...
Well, it might be a red herring, but enough that we still get to hear more about it, even if it's not
you know, if it doesn't go anywhere, we still hear more about the serial killer, I imagine, even if he's nothing to do with Vecna.
Yeah, I imagine Nancy's going to do some digging.
Oh, Nancy.
She's going to want to now because her little mate's going to...
Little Freddy, he's gone, isn't he?
Yeah. What the fuck is Jonathan going to do? I don't care, but at the same time, why is he even in it?
I hope that he just goes away. Because the more I see him, the more annoyed I am just by his presence.
He's so mopey. And he's I really liked him in the first season. Like, felt sorry for him and like, oh, his brother's gone. Like, oh, bless him. It's just him and his mum. Now, what's your problem? Why are you even
pathetic?
Moping?
Get a life. Have some fun and try smiling. Try smiling and not being weird. You can be weird, but not all of that at once. It's just too much. Why? Yeah. Ugh. He's my least favourite.
Yeah, he really... I mean, I'm glad him and Nancy aren't together because actually he dragged her down and she's like, okay. She's not that bad in it when it's just her and whoever, Freddie.
Her and her newspaper minions. Yeah. Well, we'll see, won't we? We'll see. We've got another 5 episodes of this to...
Yeah, many hours of terrifying hours. Viewing.
Perhaps I shall watch some on the aeroplane next week.
Yes. Can't get you on the aeroplane. He can't fly, Lord Vecna.
No, I'm far away from the upside down in the air in an aeroplane on an Airbus A380, which has got us an upper deck. Who knew?
Oh, my God.
I know. Swish. Stairs on a plane. Sorry, can you tell I'm excited? It is the future. Perhaps not the future of Hawkins, but the future of my life for the next few days.
Future of aviation, which is just as
indeed
important.
Indeed.
Is there anything else that you think, oh, I just wanted to talk about this, that, or the other that we haven't covered? Because obviously it's quite a lot of stuff that went down.
Oh, do you know, I think we've done a pretty solid overview of the key elements of the show, of these two episodes. I think it would be, without doing a kind of full deep dive of each one of them, I think we've covered the core bits. We've got upside down creepiness, mob mentality, town hysteria, mopey Jonathan, you know, some high school tropes, bit of bullying, roller skating, Kate Bush. I mean, how can you not have loved that 2.5 hours of telly?
That's just everything you need.
Literally ticks all my boxes.
And some roller skating.
Yeah, I mean, even better. Not for me, I can't roller skate. Can
I
you?
Can't roller skate either, but no. I enjoy watching it.
Me too. No, so I think I'm excited for episode 3. I think I'm going to try not to watch it all at once because I like not having a heart attack. And really, I felt like I wasn't quite on the verge of it. I now feel calmer now that I spent some time talking to you about it. But,
yeah. I was watching it last night. I'm kind of just sending out a few messages like, oh, this is scary. Oh, it's really gory. And no one's responding. I'm like, okay, I'll just deal with it on my own then. Oh,
guys.
My God. Now I'm going to bed and, oh, I'm just going to think about everything I've seen and I'm alone in the house. Oh, great.
Yeah. So for the future of season 4 of Stranger Things, please don't watch it alone, Lucy, at night.
But Aaron doesn't want to watch it. He was so put off by that last season. So I am on my own, but hopefully not home alone.
Yeah, not home alone. Watch it alone, but not in the house alone.
Lost in Boston, that'll be you. Hopefully you don't get lost. any other predictions? Is there anything you want to be like, oh, I said that would happen. You made a good one about Max.
Yeah, that's, I think Max is my main one, I think.
Hope she's okay.
I think that's the big vibe I've got, but I hope that she is okay. But I do think that she's going to be the first of our gang's victims of Vecna in some way or another. But hopefully Eleven's powers will come back and she will rescue her. And if not, then well, fuck you, Netflix.
I don't want to see her jaw get broken.
No, me neither. You got any other predictions?
Do I have any other predictions? I don't think so at this point. I think I'm open to interpretations. I'm open to see what happens, but I don't think there's anything that I said about the satanic panic type thing. I don't know if there's anything else that is glaring to me that, oh, God,
no,
that's obviously going to happen.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see, won't we?
We will just have to wait and see. So I think the next podcast should be out where we cover the rest. Well, I don't know if it'll be the rest of it because there's a lot. It's probably going to have to be in like at least 3 chunks, the podcast. That should be out next Tuesday.
Yep. It sure should.
Just going to put that out
there. Put it out there.
should be out there. If it's not, don't sue me.
No, because how do you know what next Tuesday is? When do we record this? It's a mystery. La la la. But hopefully it should be. It may be the lads instead of the lasses.
Yeah, I mean, be good to do one with the lads, you know? Be good to speak to them because it's been... I don't think I've done one this year.
No.
Schedules never allow for it.
Maybe.
Do they exist still? I don't know. I'm sure our listeners would like it too. I'm sure they don't like the segregation that is going on currently. No,
absolutely not. I agree.
But it's not deliberate. It's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes across time zones and schedules and whatnot.
Children and things.
Upside down. Well, yeah, Len and Gaz are both in the Upside Down because they're in Australia.
They are, it's true.
Demogorgons abound out in the outback. You've got to be careful.
Yeah, they do. Still babies as well. Oh, wait, no. That's not Demogorgons. That's coyotes. Dingoes. That's it. Never mind. Close enough. Maybe a dingo is actually a Demogorgon. On that nonsense note...
That's a good theory.
Yeah, why not? Listeners, pray for us to have our last episode as all of us doing the final episode of season 4 of Stranger Things together. And if not, whatever it is, it'll be great anyway.
Well, you've spoken it out into the universe now, Emma. So if you speak it, they will come, as they say.
Manifesting.
Yeah, you've manifested it. I'm sure that'll happen. We'll try and make it happen for us and for the listeners. I'm sure they would all appreciate it. Well, I think that's it. I think it was a good start to the season. I think it was scary. I think it kind of went back to the roots of the show. And it's built some interesting... Well, it's planted some interesting seeds. I don't know what it built, but it planted some interesting seeds as to how it's all going to conclude without giving too much away. But I think there's a lot more horror to come, which is great for wimps
like
me.
And me, yeah. I live alone, so I will always be terrified. I'm never going to sleep again.
Lock all your doors and shove Dairy Girls on after to cheer yourself up. Bloody love it. Well, thank you for joining me, Emma/Eleven/Jane.
Thank you for hosting, Lucy/Mike.
/Steve Harrington's girlfriend at high school.
Yeah, okay.
He's not at high school anymore, though, is he?
No, /Steve's one true love, I think, is what I'm going to call you.
That's it. College girlfriend, maybe.
It's been an utter pleasure, and I look forward to more podcasting with your dulcet tones soon.
Oh, yes. More nonsense chat at the end as well.
Hurrah. Okay.
Thank you for joining me, Emma, and thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will see you on the next one, more Stranger Things content. Bye.
Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.